Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your heart to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
Y'all are lit this morning. You guys have, you're full of energy. By the way, thank you for moving in. We are filling up, but there is plenty of room for more your neighbors, your family. Thank you guys for just scooting in and making sure that everybody feels like they have a place here. And if you guys just help us out, keep an eye out kind of in the aisles and maybe peek behind you every once in a while. If you see somebody come in, make sure they feel welcome. It's okay to even say, hey, come sit with me. Come sit in my aisle, okay? I want to thank you guys for worshiping with us this morning. The band was fired up, so it was great to hear you guys singing as well. And we're excited about what God has in store this week as we get ready for the trick-or-treat bash. I'm seeing the phone keeps beeping about people seeing the ad and wanting to come here and be a part of that this weekend. We want to redeem the holiday of Halloween. It's okay to say that because we're gonna take it back in Jesus' name, and we're not gonna apologize for it. We're gonna reach people in our community this Friday, the 27th, and with our trick or treat bash. I knew there was a reason why the Lord put on the heart of people 70 years ago to put so many dang doors on this campus. For the trick-or-treat bash. There's a door for every member here. But we can't wait to see what God's gonna do through that. I also wanna ask you to be praying for my family. My daughter, Samantha, who some of you know has Chiari malformation. She's getting surgery on Wednesday. That's the t-shirt. I want to invite you guys to be praying for us. Chiari malformation, if you guys don't know, this is how my daughter explains it. Her brain is too big for her head. So they make room for it. And it's a scary surgery to read about, but it is very safe and it is very common and the results are very good. But pray for us. Parents, it's hard to do that as parents. It's harder for her. And of course, a long recovery process. So we just appreciate your support and love during that time. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for what you're going to do through your word this morning. I pray, Father, that if there's someone here who needs relief, who needs your Holy Spirit to take over and to redeem their lives, we pray that we would see victory in their lives and our own lives this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. About 10 years ago, we were in Uganda waiting for our adoption to be completed with my oldest daughter, Barbara. So, by the way, Uganda is hot. It is mild during the summer when we go, right? But during the winter, during March, when we were there, it's so hot, you sleep with just the sheet on. You don't need any blankets, any coverings, because it's hot. And you don't need one more thing keeping you up at night. But just in case that's not enough, there was dogs barking all night, and they don't bark like dogs in America are just roof, roof, roof. These dogs are like a machine gun. I mean, I don't know. They're different, okay? I don't know. And then when they would finally stop, they would fall asleep. The dogs would fall asleep. They would give way to the roosters. And then so we just kind of just suffered all night long. And there was this one particular rooster. You remember this, babe? The rooster that loved our window the best. And he would cock-a-doodle-doo all night long. He was celebrating the morning long before there was a sign of the sunshine. And so, and the problem was, he didn't sound like a good he wasn't a, you learn how to do that when you live in Fellsmere like we do, okay? But this rooster, he didn't sound all beautiful and pretty like that. I don't even want to hear that rooster at 2 o'clock in the morning. But he was a rooster that had to have smoked six packs of Marlboros for 20 years because he had that raspy sort of, and he would kind of hack and cough at the end. You know, seriously, right? Honey, back me up here. Okay, it's crazy, but like he would do that, and he would do that all day and all night. He was a stupid rooster. And I lost a lot of sleep those first several days, maybe weeks that we were there, until I realized I slept and I didn't hear the rooster anymore. Some of you are like, you ate him. No. I learned to ignore him. And even though that rooster was crowing, I somehow got used to it and fell asleep. Every once in a while, he'd come back and he'd wake me up. You know, he'd get so close to the window. This is, they don't have air conditioning, okay? So he'd be sitting right. I mean, I'm like, get out of here, you know, and then he'd come back. And then eventually, though, I didn't even wake up when he was right outside my window. Some of you have gotten comfortable with the noise coming from your enemy, and you've just kind of dismissed it. You've learned to sleep with it. You've learned to live with it. You've learned to move on in spite of the noise still being there. Today we're going to talk about our giants. And this wasn't a giant rooster, but it was a giant interruption to my sleep. We're going to be talking about David and Goliath. And we had a series called Faith That Doesn't Flinch, and this sort of just fit right in here. And this is a one-off sermon, so this is an extra episode in Faith That Doesn't Flinch, Giant Problems. If you have a giant problem, if you brought that here today, my exhortation to you is don't bring it home with you. We're gonna leave it here. We're gonna make sure that giant doesn't keep you up tonight. And it's not gonna be because you're ignoring it, it's gonna be because the giant is gonna die. Samuel anointed David king of Israel. That's kind of a big gig, you know, for a kid. That's when he was anointed. He was anointed as a kid. And God said, you're gonna be the king. And he just can't wait to be king. Just waiting for it. It just still didn't hit, did it? It didn't hit. He just can't wait to be king. But the truth is, right now, he's just a kid. God says he's a king, but the whole world sees he's just a kid. Now, he gets into this situation with the king, trying to convince him that he can do something about an enemy, but the king just sees him as a kid. All right, we walk up to this scene. David is bringing lunch to his brothers. Even though God says he's a king, he's just doing the menial tasks. He's bringing the boys lunch. He's being the arms bearer. He's playing the harp for the king. He has been told he's supposed to be the CEO, but he's still cleaning bathrooms and taking care of sheep. First Samuel 17. We're gonna be there. If you wanna follow along, you can open up your YouVersion Bible app or you can open up your hard copy of the scripture and follow along with us. But this Philistine situation, it looked kind of like this. The Philistines were in the valley and the Israelites were in the valley and they were about to fight. It was kind of like these teenage boys, you know, I'm gonna, but nothing's happening. Okay, and the reason why is because they knew that it was going to be a blood bath of a battle. Both sides were gonna lose big, so the Philistines had an idea. Let's have our champion, our biggest guy, fight your biggest guy. And by the way, their biggest guy is Goliath, right? He stands 9 foot 9 inches. He has a bronze helmet, a bronze javelin, a spear with a 15-pound spearhead. Now, I don't care how much I go to the gym, a 15-pound spearhead, I cannot imagine throwing a spearhead that weighs 15 pounds, and that's their champion. And so the odds are not really good for Israel. So Goliath's strategy works. Goliath's strategy is to get his enemy away from his people, which, by the way, is always how the giant works. He thinks, man, if I could just get you away from your church, if I could just get you away from your family, if I could just get you isolated, if it could just be mano y mano, I will defeat you. And so that is how the giants work. But when you have a giant problem, what are you going to do? Are you going to flinch or have faith? Number one, when you have a giant problem, we must live in the promise while we're waiting for the promise. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he's allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" Well, excuse me, he's just a kid. And to talk like that, I know I'm in church and some of you are already falling asleep, so I'm just gonna go for it. But that's ballsy. That's nuts. That's crazy. And he says, you know what? Who is it that's allowing, and you could say that he's the little brother showing up to the enemy line, right? You know how little brothers are, right? And he's showing up and he's like, why are you boys allowing this guy to bully us like this? As he's holding the lunch, you know, cheese and crackers. Why are you allowing this bully to talk this way about your God? Easy for you to say, you're just bringing lunch. You're just a kid. You see, David is living in the promise long before the promise can be seen by everybody. 1 Samuel, verse 17, verse 31, we continue. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Can you imagine? I gotta be honest with you. I am not always living in the promise while waiting for the promise. And if the king sent for me after running my mouth like that, I'd get a big pit in my stomach, and I'd be thinking, what did I do? Oh my. You know, I'd have big faith, you know, when I'm quiet and alone by myself and taunting my brothers. But when King Saul says, I wanna speak to you, I'm beginning to get afraid. I'm beginning to start doubting the promise that I'm supposed to be living in. So king sent for him, verse 32, don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. And he's like, here. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy. And he's been a man of war since his youth. David says to King Saul, hey, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. I'm here to save the day. I got my rocks and my sling, and I got a stick that I use because I'm a shepherd. And Saul's like, Pastor Seth was right. You are crazy. You're nuts. Don't be ridiculous, he says, which is, these are well-meaning people that are in your life that will tell you, don't be ridiculous. Don't take in another kid. It'll be a lot of problems. Why would you do that? That's usually what people tell us. Like, you don't need more kids. Yeah, we sure don't. But look, God keeps saying, hey, this is for you. Okay, for you. Some of you are like, oh Lord, please don't do that. Okay, for you, it's something else that would terrify you. And God says, do this. And you are this person. And then the people are like, don't be ridiculous, you can't do that. You see, God says he's a king, even though Saul sees him as a kid. David decides he's not gonna listen to what Saul says. He's gonna listen to what God says. In verse 37, it says, the Lord who rescued me, this is David speaking, the Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine. Saul finally consented. He wasn't like, yay, you can save us. He consented, like, go ahead and kill yourself. We're gonna be slaves for the rest of our lives, which is how it works. In order to save their lives, they were willing to fight the giant with their champion, David, against Philistine's champion, Goliath. And they were basically, he was consenting to become slaves instead of dead. He consented. "All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you. Live in the promises of yesterday while waiting for the blessings of tomorrow. Live in what God says to be true, even when you don't see it, even when no one else sees it." We have two choices. When there are voices inside and outside our head telling us something that's contrary to what God is saying about you, you can get distracted and you can listen to the rooster crowing in your window, or you can listen to God. You can learn to live with that rooster crowing in the window, or you can say, "That's not true. I'm not gonna stand for it. The world says I'm a kid, but God says I'm a king." Next, when you have a giant problem, you need a God that's bigger than a giant. You aren't gonna fight this battle as a kid all by yourself. David was a bad dude. He was pretty fierce. He's telling Saul, "Look, I killed stuff out in the wilderness." But even then, he's giving credit to God, saying, "Hey, God kept me safe. God allowed me to do this then, and he'll allow me to do this now." Sometimes when we have a giant breathing down our neck and screaming at us and taunting us, we forget all the things that God did in our past that validate what God is going to do in our present and our future. And we begin sort of forgetting. We lose all that progress of faith and growth, and we just focus on the moment. Right now, I feel intimidated. Right now, I feel like a kid when God says I'm a kid, God says I'm a king. But God says, don't listen to those voices. When you have a giant problem, you must have a giant God. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, it goes on. "He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine." Verse 41, "Goliath walked out toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him." I wanna make sure we get this. His shield bearer is going ahead of him because he's like, "I don't even have to fight you. The guy who carries my armor can kill you. I'm gonna stay back here and keep my hands clean." And then, verse 42, "Sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy." I love that. A ruddy-faced boy. That's a good compliment for a boy like David. A ruddy face. I don't know exactly. I didn't look at the Hebrew words. Somebody sent me some stuff in between service, and I didn't research it. You guys can be more spiritual than me. But a ruddy face, that's a big deal. Like, can you just imagine? Let me see your ruddy face. Can I see a ruddy face? You're about to go fight a giant. I need to see. Some of you are not ready to fight a giant. You're like, this is not a ruddy face. But you've got to get it in your face that you mean business, so that the giant sees and is intimidated by that ruddy face. And it's, the Bible says, the ruddy-faced boy, he's sneering at this ruddy-faced boy who has all the confidence in the world that he doesn't have the physical stature to support. So he comes to the battle line. Even his face is confident in what God can do. Verse 43, "Am I a dog?" he roared at David, "that you come at me with a stick?" He cursed David by the names of his gods. Remember that. Verse 44, "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals," Goliath yelled. Now that just makes me excited about the day. Come here, I'm gonna feed your flesh to the wild animals. Now, those of you who live anywhere near 512 Fellsmere, anywhere, you get to see this kind of happen on a regular basis. Somebody hits something, it gets off to the side of the road, and if some redneck doesn't come by and get it for good meat, it's gonna get, the birds are gonna come and get it. So my son says, "Why didn't somebody eat that?" Well, it was probably not safe, okay? Anyway, I'm not gonna give advice on that. You guys are on your own. But you start to see the vultures come and they peel the flesh from the bone. Doesn't that sound like an exciting fate? And that's what Goliath is saying is going to happen to David. And David, still with a ruddy face, I bet, isn't going to take and be afraid about what the giant is saying. Verse 45, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." I gotta say, like, he knows how to do comebacks, okay? That is a little brother right there, right? That's a little brother. He says, "I'll take your birds eating the flesh and I'll raise you. Not only are the birds gonna eat your flesh, but they're gonna eat the flesh of your entire army." And let me just remind you, he's saying that from down here with his little bag of stones, right? And his stick. But I wanna clarify that this battle between the champions is not actually a battle between David and Goliath in the physical realm, but is a battle with spiritual roots. Because what does he say? Let's go back to that in verse 43. What does he say? Goliath says this halfway through verse 43, and he cursed David by the names of his gods. It just got spiritual right there. And then, verse 45, how does David respond? Spiritually. "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied." Sometimes the giant gets to live and the giant gets to continue taunting us because we're fighting a spiritual battle with physical weapons. And look, we need to be serious. Like, hey, he had to have the rocks to win the battle. He had the stick. I don't know what purpose the stick played in this battle, because I think all he did was hold it. But he had to have the rocks. The rocks were a key player. He had to move towards Goliath in order to win. But we must realize that this battle is first and foremost a spiritual battle. Whatever has been yelling in your head late at night, it may be a spiritual battle. David is ready to fight a giant that's been taunting for days. And something unique is about to happen, but we must first realize what he's stepping into, because it was morning and night that Goliath would go out and scream at the Israelites. And it was the Jewish tradition to have prayer in the morning and at night. So just when the Jews were going off to pray to finally get some peace from this horrible situation that was just ongoing and that there seemed no hope for, there was the giant screaming at the top of his lungs. Every time the Jews would try and pray and get in their holy of holies and sit down and have their chair time and spend time with God, the voice of the giant could be heard taunting them. I don't know if you have any chair time like that, where every time you sit down, you hear some other voices going on inside your head, taunting you, yelling at you, "You're not good enough. You will not succeed. You will not have victory." This is a spiritual battle. I want to give you another reason why this is a spiritual battle. Because in the Talmud, which is an extra biblical or a book that's not in the Bible, but is a Jewish history and a Jewish book that they use in their religion, actually describes a situation where Goliath claims credit for taking the Ark of the Covenant. That's the container with all the cool stuff in it that's supposed to remind Israel how powerful their God is. It is the physical representation of the presence of God. And Goliath says, "I just stole the presence of God." That's what your giant tries to do. He tries to brainwash you to think that that the presence of God can possibly be contained in a box. And what did he do with that box? He took it to the temple of Dagon, a god whose characteristic is that he has 60 tons of armor, and he sits it at the feet of Dagon, symbolically showing that God's presence has been defeated by another god. And the Israelites were dumb enough to believe it. When we don't have a big view of the presence of God, we can be distracted by all the noises and not realize that despite the physical manifestation of God's presence, he is spiritually here and just as powerful as before. Some of us, we forget about what God has done, you know, and just because somebody has carried off with it does not mean God is not just as powerful as when he parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross. So we must realize that some of our problems are not merely physical. It may feel like it's the ex-spouse that's the problem. It may feel like it's the kid who just never wants to do what he's told, wants to argue all the time. Don't anybody look at anybody over in my family. It might not be the person at work that's being difficult and wants to undermine everything you do. It might be a spiritual battle. It might not be just surface level anxiety, surface level depression. You might need therapy, and therapy is a great thing. But therapy plus the presence of God is powerful. And so God may be setting you up for a spiritual battle and a spiritual victory. So do not allow the giant to intimidate you and get you off alone by yourself without your life group, without your church, without your family, without your spouse. Fight the battle like David did, saying, I'm gonna come at you with all the armies of heaven. I may be all alone down here, but all of heaven's armies are fighting for me. 1 Samuel 17, verse 47 says, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with the sword and spear, not with physical things. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. This is the Lord's battle. Can you tell that to somebody? Somebody needs to hear that today. Can you be that voice? This is the Lord's battle. Say that to your neighbor. This is the Lord's battle. Some of you don't believe that. This is the Lord's battle. No, this is the Lord's battle. It's not mine. I can't fight it. I can't win it. But the Lord can, because it's not my battle. It's the Lord's battle. It's also going to be the Lord's victory. Number three, when you have a giant problem, the giant must die. It was a beautiful March morning in Uganda. Sunday after church, so I guess that would make it afternoon. Madam Hopkins, Pastor Moses, who you met last week, who preached here at our church, his wife came to me and she said, Msumba says, that's my name in Uganda. She said, Msumba says, I need you to go get the children and help me get a chicken to eat tonight. And I knew exactly what chicken I was gonna get. And the children are going after the slow ones. And I'm like, nah, no, Msumba, we have. No, you don't have. Nope, we're not doing that chicken. That chicken's way too easy. We're gonna kill the one that's the noisiest, not the one that's the slowest. Okay, we're gonna kill the one that's been taunting me at night, okay? And I told them this, and they're like, okay, Msumba. And it took us a while. I couldn't believe the strength of that anthazema-infused chicken. Like he was all of a sudden a baby chicken again, running around like crazy around. And so here's me and like 15 Ugandan children running around the dusty courtyard trying to get this stupid thing. And finally, me, the 15 children, and about, you know, two crazy Americans who were there visiting. We finally got them. And then, so my daughter knows how to do this. So she did the honors. And she held up the head, which I spared you. I did not bring the picture. I have the picture. It was a satisfying feeling. We do this here in America. We've done it once anyway. We butchered the chicken. Our neighbors don't understand us anymore. But it is a satisfying feeling when you've finally silenced the rooster. No more crowing all night long. Who's the boss now? Sometimes you can move on and the giant can keep coexisting, but other times the giant has to die. The rooster must be butchered. Now, some of you may be putting this into certain things and applying all sorts of stuff. Don't go killing people, okay? This is not that kind of religion, okay? Just, I'm metaphorically speaking, maybe you have an addiction, okay? Or some bitterness, kill that. Destroy that. Or the spirit of the devil telling you, you can't do this. You will never amount to anything. You should just quit now. Kill that. Sometimes it's time for the rooster to die. It's time for some chicken nuggets. Amen? Amen. I remember the feeling of hope and satisfaction when we've been eating rice and potatoes and beans all week long, never touching the flesh of an animal. And tonight, we're going to eat the animal that tormented me for weeks, right? And then some of you are like, awesome chicken. We had one chicken among like 30 people. So it's kind of like, you know, like when you go to Chinese food and they kind of shred it and it's in the rice. So you get like, oh, there's a piece, you know? It was still so satisfying, so filling. It was the most filling little strips of chicken I've ever had. Or maybe there's a giant in your life that's been taunting you for a long time that needs to die. Maybe God's been poking your shoulder and saying, that's the one. You know, you're looking at all the roosters in the courtyard and he says, that one. Don't waste your time with any other giant except for the one that he points at. Here's why. 1 Samuel 17, verse 48, the story continues as Goliath moved closer to attack. David quickly ran out to meet him. I'm telling you, this guy's crazy. He doesn't wait. He runs into battle, verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. This is not PG. Just telling you up front, but I love this part. All right, the stone sank in. And Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. It's gonna get better, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from his sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. Told you, I warned you. Parental advisory. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Now, this is why I'm telling you, make sure you go after the right rooster, okay? Go after the right rooster. Go after the one God says, hey, get that one. That's the most important one. There's gonna be all sorts of roosters that are taunting you. God will show you the one that once you take that rooster out, the rest will go running because they're connected. Are you guys tracking with me? Anybody from Fellsmere that's finally tracking? Okay, maybe even you, Sebastian and Vero people. Satellite Beach is lost. I'll explain it later. I'll do a Facebook Live or something. Here's the thing. We have to be willing to go to battle. And we have to go to battle fully equipped to win a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, verse 10 talks about what it takes to win a spiritual battle. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. This is not about a rooster or a giant, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. These are all the things that you need to carry into battle with you. And they don't come from you. They don't come from making sure that you do everything perfectly. They come from following Jesus. They come from deciding, I'm gonna make pursuing God my life's goal. And I'm gonna fight every battle with his strength instead of mine. There's a giant today that wants to feed, your flesh to the birds. You felt that tension. Some of you had something in mind when I began talking about this. It's time to stop believing you're a kid and know that God says you're a king. It's time to live in the promises while you're waiting. It's time for the giant to die. As we talk about spiritual battles, you know, you read all this stuff about spiritual armor. And you may not feel like you got it all on right now. It feels like you're taking a few hits, some damage. That's what the kingdom of God, that's what the family of God is for. Sometimes when your shield is lowered, that's my chance to get up in front of you and defend you. That's why we talk about life groups. That's why we talk about being in community and church not being just a one day a week deal, but like standing up for one another and deciding, no, I'm not gonna let the giant talk to my friend that way. I'm gonna stand up even when they don't have the strength to do so. So I don't know what your giant is, but I want to help you stand up. I know we could pray at your seat, but there's something special about having someone's hand on your shoulder and saying, I got your back. So would you stand up with me? Would you stand up with me, please? Could our leaders come forward, please? If you're here, if you carried your giant with you, or you carry the bags under your eyes because there's a rooster crowing in your head all night long, don't leave here. Don't take that home with you. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. We want to defend you. Is there anyone who needs prayer for that this morning? Anyone who says, I got a giant that needs killing, and today is the last day that I allow that giant to talk to me that way. Is there anyone? The Lord brought you here. I don't know for what reason, but the Lord brought you here for such a time as this. Only you know what God's speaking to you this morning. Don't go it alone. Use the spiritual armor of the church, your church family, to pray over you, to prepare you for battle. Some of you may have never put your faith in Jesus before, and you're just kind of trying out this spiritual thing, this religious thing. You're just trying it out. Maybe today's the day you're gonna put your faith in Jesus and decide, I'm not gonna fight my battles alone. I'm gonna fight my battles with Jesus, with the Lord of Heaven's army. If that's you, come forward. Is there someone here who says, today's the day I'm gonna put my faith in Jesus for the first time? I'm gonna stop trying to do it on my own. I'm going to use the strength that only comes from Jesus. It's so easy. You know, Jesus was sent to die on the cross for sinners, and sometimes we think that's for other people. It's for me, because Jesus died on the cross for sinners just like me. I'm a pastor, so you guys think maybe, some of you, that I don't have big sins or I don't sin at all. It's not true. The Bible tells us everybody sins. But God just didn't die for my sins. He died for your sins. God sent his son Jesus because he valued you. He loved you so much. Would you follow him today? It's okay if you don't want to come forward. I want to lead you in a prayer, even at your seat. If you come forward, we can talk to you more about how to grow. But even at your seat, God's power can meet you there. He knows everything you've ever done, and he's already forgiven you for it. Now's the time just to take advantage of that forgiveness. And you can do that very easily by just praying a prayer to Jesus. It's not this magic words that do it, but it's your heart turning towards him that transform your life. If you would pray with me, we're gonna pray through the ABCs. We're gonna admit that you've sinned. We're gonna believe that Jesus died for me as a sacrificial payment, and we're gonna commit our lives to following Jesus. So if that's you at your seat or even up here, we pray this together. Dear Jesus, I admit that I've sinned. Jesus, I believe that you died a perfect sacrificial payment for my sins. And I am committing my life to following you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.